from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
We're moving on up, to the top, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Gotta love those 70s. Moving on up.
Is it the way you move?
That was so bad.
That was really bad. The guy who says he hates Led Zeppelin, you do a pretty good imitation.
Gosh.
Not.
That's because I banged my head against the wall 13 times. And
is that what you did during the break?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. We finished our last show.
Yeah.
About those chosen.
Yes.
God chooses some beforehand, designates them beforehand for the place of a son. God does not choose everyone for the place of a son.
No.
Okay. In order, those he chooses, he calls.
Yes.
So sometime in our life, if we're chosen beforehand.
Can I read that verse? I think it's important to read it.
I think it's important
to read it in the Concordant version, too. Romans chapter 8.
Yeah, you're right. It is important. Read it.
And he says this, "Now we are aware that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God, who are called according to the purpose that whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand also to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be firstborn among many brethren. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies also. Now, whom he justifies, these he glorifies also." Romans 8, 28 to 30 in the Concordant New Testament.
So the order there is designates beforehand.
Yep.
Calls.
Yep.
Justifies. No.
Yep.
And then glorifies.
Yep.
Right. Now, what about those he does not call? Because there are some that he does not call in this life.
Yes.
And the Christian world will write those people off. That's all for them. That God didn't choose them, so they're going to hell. We're going to get into this is going to lead us into Arminianism today, I think.
And the reason, we'll get in, but Paul, again, context. Paul is talking about a select group in a certain period of time. When Paul is writing, he is referring to the members of the body of Christ.
Right.
These are who he's referring to here. He's not talking about Israel or the nations. He's talking about a group of people that are neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. They're members of the body of Christ. And this is referring to them. Now, Israel's also given the place of a son nationally among the rest of the nations. And so there are different callings, and this is important to recognize. That's why Paul, and I'm sorry if I'm getting off topic here, but the Apostle Paul, it tells us in Ephesians 4 that that we have one hope or one expectation of our calling. So we need to know what our calling is. What is our calling? What is our calling today? Is our calling to reign with Christ on earth from a place called Jerusalem? No.
Some would think.
No, that is Israel's calling. Our calling is a celestial calling, and it's found among the celestial realms. And so this is an important distinction in the Scriptures. We need to know you can't walk worthy of your calling if you don't know what your calling is.
Good point. Let's talk about Israel for a second.
Let's do that.
They were called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood.
Yes.
For what purpose? To bring the rest of the nations to God. They were
exactly
a spearhead, if you will. They were a spearhead group that God called beforehand in order. Now, these select people that he's choosing now, he's not doing it to damn the rest. He's going to take this select group of people, use it to reach the rest.
And
with Israel, he brings them through first. They're the first to believe in God. He finally perfects them. They get the new covenant written on their hearts. They enter into the kingdom during the 1,000 years, and they shepherd the rest of the nations.
Yes.
So all the nations come to God through Israel. So, but during this time period, where Israel, or I should say during the time period when God was calling Israelites, God wasn't concerned for a long time with the rest of the nations. Now, this might seem crazy.
We put that in quotes, obviously. Yes,
yes. Yes, but this might seem crazy when our Lord is going around telling his disciples, do not teach this gospel to anyone but Israelites. Yep. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24. If this is people's one and only chance to get saved or go to hell for eternity, Jesus has a funny way of going about it. Only preach to Israelites.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. There was a, remember J. Vernon McGee, you ever hear of him?
Yeah.
I mean, I like him in some, but he made a comment. I remember one of his comments on Genesis 10 and 11, where God separates the nations there. He says, in Genesis 10 and 11, God says bye-bye to the nations.
Yeah, he does, temporarily.
Uh-huh. He says bye-bye for the rest of the Old Testament, he said. Obviously, he didn't understand.
That's,
but
that's
the point
really
being is,
yeah,
it's
true.
A true statement.
It's true.
And it's interesting. Here's another way of looking at it. In Genesis 10 and 11, God separates the nations, right?
At the Tower of Babel, and, you're talking about.
Yes. Now, listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. And this has got to be gotten a hold of. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, we read this here. When the Supreme, I'm reading from the Concordant Literal Old Testament, when the Supreme gave the nations allotments. Now, God gave the nations their allotments. When did he do this? Genesis 10 and 11, when he separated them at Babel, right?
Mm.
When he parted the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the numbers of the sons of El, or God in the normal versions. For the portion of Yahweh is his people, Jacob is the line of his allotment. So when God separated all the nations, he did that according to the number of the sons of El, which are the children of Israel at this point. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Russia, compare Russia to Palestine right now.
Do I have to?
Now think of the size of Russia.
Yes, it's huge.
Compared to Israel.
It's very small.
But God says Russia was put there in relation to Israel.
Yeah,
Israel's the center of the earth.
Literally.
Literally.
It is. The literal, not the core,
so
but
God
the geographical center.
So God segregated these people.
Yeah.
Numbers 22, 23, 24, the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy 33, actually. It says he separated them. They will dwell alone. They're a segregated people. And if I may put it bluntly, God chooses, you know, people would call it racism, but God chose a race. They were, when God separated the nations, Genesis 10 and 11, they are, as it were, waiting for the priesthood nation to arise to bring them to God.
And the priesthood nation has not arisen yet.
And we are not the priesthood nation.
We're not the priesthood nation.
No.
And those people that are living in Palestine now, they're sure not acting out
not
the priesthood
yet.
Nation.
Nope.
And so when God called this nation to himself, he did. He left the nations to go their own way, relatively speaking. They went their own way. And so this, really, Dan, when you look at this, this is a startling revelation, because it means that Christianity is wrong to think that we have to beat the bushes today to get the whole world saved, because it's not God's intention today to save the whole world.
No.
That's not going to happen until Israel comes into her priesthood function in the 1,000 years, and then all the nations will learn of God. Then the knowledge of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Now, he's only after a certain amount of people. So if you're being told out there, folks, that you have to save the world before Christ returns, not even God is trying to do that. He's after the spearhead people. Israel's the spearhead for the rest of the nations, and we're going to see the fulfillment of this not tomorrow, but during the 1,000 years of peace. Likewise, now we come to the body of Christ. And I think it's safe to say that the body of Christ is, there's a parallel there with the body of Christ bringing another group into God. We know that God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. And that we know from Colossians, the heavens and earth are going to be reconciled to him. And what body of people does he use to reconcile the earth? He uses Israel. And what body of people does he use to reconcile the heavens to himself? The body of Christ.
That's right.
And it takes a call of God to acquaint each one with it.
Exactly. And you find the details of this in Paul's later letters. Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians lay the foundation of justification by faith. And Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians show us the celestial realm which we will occupy. And it's interesting, Paul's letters form, in the order in which we have them, it's the school of God. In Romans, we begin with justification and sanctification or holiness. It establishes the facts. Corinthians and Galatians are letters that are corrective in nature and rebuke in nature based off of Romans' teaching. And then Ephesians takes us to the celestial realms, shows us the destiny and the role that the justified of this time will occupy.
All right, I come back to my original question. Yes. What happens to those who are not called today? Because there's
I was given a great thing.
I'm sorry. Were you?
Never mind. I'll just leave it.
We will leave the people
unblessed because of your interruption. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I'm full of remorse.
Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I was going to say
What about Israel?
Well,
nations?
No.
About the nations?
No.
What's your question?
No.
Oh. Spit it out. Would you, Zender?
Yeah, my question is those who are not called. There are many in Israel who are not called, right? The rank and file, the unbelievers. Many were wasted in the wilderness. Look at this. How many people came into the promised land from Egypt of that generation? How many? This is a quiz for you, Sheridan.
How many came from where?
Oh, good Lord. How many people came from the Egypt into the promised land?
I don't know. A couple hundred.
Two. Joshua?
That's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
No.
Are you defying me on the air?
All the young people made it alive.
All the young people?
Yeah, it was a certain group that was wiped out in the wilderness, not just Joshua and Caleb. They were youngsters.
What?
Yeah, the youngsters.
Were they born in the 70s?
No. They were much more intelligent than that.
Can we say this?
What?
That it was a very small percentage
of
the... How many came out of Egypt? How many millions?
I don't know how many.
You don't know?
No, tell me what it says.
I don't know. I thought you knew.
I have no idea.
It was in the millions, was
lots.
It not? It was lots.
It was a few.
It was a few. It was it lots or was it a few?
It could have been a flots.
What's the percentage today of those who are called as compared to those who are not called into God's purposes?
Well, let me back
up. If you're trying to save the world today, you have got to be one of the most frustrated people in the world because it's not working.
That's right.
You're banging your head against the wall like I'm banging Sheridan's head against the console right now. Does that hurt?
I'm going to leave you with a thought.
I wish you would leave me, period.
I would say, now ponder this, and I'm going to ask the question, and we'll pick it up tomorrow.
I'll say.
Does the term calling necessarily mean having aeonian life? Can people have aeonian life?
Wait, what's this aeonian? Have we explained that?
You have life or no, we haven't. Well, we have in other programs.
In other programs.
But
go to the archives,
does the word
folks.
Does being called equate being those who are selected, I think the term calling is only applied to a group who have a role to fulfill.
Yeah, that makes
like
sense.
Like Israel, and I don't think the nations in the coming millennium are necessarily called.
I like the way you do that with put them in quotes.
Yeah,
called.
They're,
like
but
Dr.
they're there
Evil.
And they have these blessings. So I think calling replies to a role that God selects groups out to play in his purpose of the ages.
You got my head spinning, Sheridan.
Ponder that.
My head is spinning. I'll ponder it on my cot. I want to go lay down after this in the break room, if you don't mind.
Whew.
Hey, Duke, give us the key to the break room. I need a cot.
Duke,
thank you
very
much.
Do you have gas?
I need a cot.
I think Duke had beans.
I don't know. Something's going on in here. Folks, by the grace of God, we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks. Bye.